The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 626 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys, and I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. And Daniela, there is a lot of exciting things to cover today. We have movie trailers. We have some impressions that we want to give. But at the very top, I want to start with what we've been playing. So let's start there. Daniela, how are you?
I am doing good. I'm excited. I can't believe it. We're at episode 626. No, I'm doing pretty good. How was your week?
It was good. It was good. What you playing these days?
Let's see. On my Steam Deck, I'm still playing My Lovely Daughter. And I recently picked up ActRaiser Renaissance. I'm going to be starting that soon because I loved ActRaiser on Super Nintendo. It's such a fantastic game. I'm going to be starting that soon. And then, of course, I've kind of dabbled my newbie self in Overwatch 2, which has been a nice little change of pace for me, considering I don't play too many shooters. But you know what? I jumped into Overwatch 1 really, really late, and I really enjoyed it. So I definitely wanted to get into Overwatch 2 kind of at the beginning there, even though I'm still behind on the learning curve and skills.
Right.
It's still a fun game to just like casually play.
Okay, so I definitely want to hear your impressions for Overwatch 2. And I know they had some challenges this week at launch, which I'm not going to spend most of my time focusing on that since you're able to play it now, right? So Overwatch 2, I definitely want to cover that. And right after that, did we need the Super Mario Brothers movie, right? So let's do Overwatch 2, and then right after that, we'll talk about the Mario trailer.
All right, that sounds good with me. A little side note, the other thing that I also got, I finally upgraded my internet. So I finally have fiber installed, which was done like a good like 5-6 hours. I think the technician came to run that cable for me. So I'm super stoked on that.
What's
so
your
I went
speed?
From right now, I am paying for 750 up, 500 down. I am not getting that full speed at the moment. That is something that Hawaiian Telcom is kind of working out still for their service. They're just trying to get it out there. But even though I'm not getting the 750-500, I'm still getting around 650 download and about 350 to 400 upload.
Right.
Which is still amazing considering I was coming from Spectrum, who over this last couple of years have been really spotty with their service, has been really down. My package there was, I think, 350 download, 25 up.
Mm.
So it's still like a remarkable upgrade there. So I've been pretty stoked on that. It's only been a day. I'm still messing around with it. My first month on Hawaiian Telcom's fiber is kind of free. So I'm still filling it out. I didn't cancel my Spectrum yet, just in case. But I'm really hopeful. Kind of stoked on it. Gonna probably upgrade my router, but I'm pretty happy about that. But yeah, so Overwatch, like I was mentioning, I kind of got into that game a little bit later than people. Like I think I only recently, not recently, maybe 4 years ago, I only played it super casual. I'm not going to say I'm like, I'm the best. I know what I'm doing. So getting into Overwatch 2, I'm kind of liking it. I mean, I didn't play it on day one. I was kind of busy with stuff, but I guess that worked out for me because, you know, they're having issues. They got the DDoS attack on their launch day. Obviously, there's people who are hyped and pumped, so that wasn't helping with their overload of their, you know, their servers, people sitting in queue. So I guess I lucked out with that. But a couple of days after that, so maybe like Friday, I got into games pretty easily. I was even playing a little bit this morning, and I haven't been having problems like, you know, jumping into a queue. Maybe at tops I waited 2 minutes to get into a game, which really to me that isn't so bad considering, you know, there's like battle royale games where you sit in the lobby waiting for the game to start for like 2 to 5 minutes. So waiting 2 minutes to get into a quick match wasn't that bad for me. If I'm ever gonna play ranked, if I got some friends that want to carry me, sure. But just like any other RPG games that I kind of play, I kind of been gravitating towards the support role. I started playing Kiriko. She just looks cool. I am a very terrible healer, so if you randomly get matched with me, I am so sorry. I am trying my best. But it's still a lot of fun. The maps are, I'm still trying to learn the maps and you know, all of those little nooks and crannies to jump up to get that best advantage. I'm still trying to learn that. Any tips anybody has, I am welcome to it. If you ever want to jump on and play, my battle net is Miss DJM 1616. So just, you know, I'm around. But I've been liking it. It's nice change of pace for me considering I play just majority indie games, majority solo games. So it's nice to break away from that and to enjoy something like this. And for me right now, since I am kind of casual with it, I'm taking it seriously. Obviously, I want to win, but it's not like rage inducing for me. And it's like the games I've played, I haven't had anybody in chat or voice yell at me for my terrible healing. So that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's definitely one I'm going to check out because I love the look of the hero shooters because that's the genre that falls under the Paladins, the Overwatches, and, you know, of the world, if you will. I think those games are amazing, what they offer with teamwork and all those things. And one thing that really caught my attention, which I'm sure you saw as well, was not only the developer update, which I kind of like, you know, skimmed through a little bit just to get an idea of Kiriko's background, but the animated short that was recently launched a few days ago for Overwatch 2 for that character, right? And I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that, and then I'll give my thoughts, you know, after.
So there's one thing I really liked. I've always really liked their animated shorts, and I love the storytelling. I love being able to know about the background of these characters and their stories. And, you know, if certainly when you pick that one character that you always like, that is your main and you love, getting those short animated stories just adds another layer of love to this. Like even when, like, before 2 came out, you know, they had little shorts, they had little stories, and it was just fun. So seeing Kiriko is, it's just under 10 minutes. And you, in those 10 minutes, you just build this love. I'm not gonna lie, I kind of teared up a little bit, especially with her mom and her mom being proud with her and everything she does. And Kiriko is a badass, and this Spirit Fox and what she's doing to save this little girl and her grandpa, it hit me. And, you know, the little, I don't remember how long before it, but they had like an origin story for her too, and that was cute. I love the art style of it. It was very, very unique and I think brand for Kiriko. So adding on even more to this 10 minute little story, I seriously could just love just an entire series, even if it's a limited series, which basically that's kind of what they are, but like a whole dedicated series just for Overwatch. I would watch it like die hard.
Yeah, for sure. I really enjoyed like everything. It is great storytelling. And I'm trying to remember which one that I saw for Overwatch in the past, which, you know, I don't recall. But this one, you know, I was like, hey, it's out. Let me check it out. You know, so it was 9 minutes. I started watching it. And just the way they build, you know, how you're introduced to not only Kiriko, but the other individuals in the short, I think is amazing, amazing storytelling. It is amazing storytelling. And yes, I did tear up too. Watching it and how proud her mom was, and her mom was doing the best that she could to support her and sharing her frustrations. And that exchange that you saw in the short was pretty dope. And even after that, you know, we see her powers in so many different ways, from, I guess, from the resurrection at that moment to, you know, her showing her martial arts capabilities in the hallway. And hallway scenes are always dope in any movie, right? Whether you watch, you know, martial arts movies that have done well with hallway scenes, or even, you know, Marvel movies that have done well with hallway scenes like Daredevil. I think you get a sense of the individuals who are putting these things together. They're fully aware of what it takes to do great storytelling based on things that we've already experienced and enjoyed, right? So I think it's brilliant. I'm looking forward to checking out more in the near future, and Sally Amaki did a fantastic job voicing Kiriko, for sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to more and more for the other characters, and it's just fun. So, I know that there's kind of been a little bit of a mix. Well, I wouldn't say mixed impressions on Overwatch 2. I know there's a lot of diehard Overwatch 1 players that they're jumping into it, but some of them are like, I don't know if I like this. Right now, for me, I'm talking about it and my impressions on it. It's completely pretty much a new player. Even though I did play some of Overwatch 1, I wasn't like that diehard player that played every weekend with their friends or anything like that, or really super, super maintain everything that was going on within that world and in that fan base. But for a new player, I think it's great to jump into right now, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout outs to the mom. I'm trying to figure out who did the voice acting for the mom as well. Brilliant. Just amazing, you know, capturing emotion, you know, for us, you know, watching it, right? You know, it felt real, you know, and the animation going with it was, you know, to me, you know, incredible. So shout outs to the entire team for putting that together. I really enjoyed that. I was going to say something to you. What was I going to say? So Overwatch 2. Okay. So from what I recall, Overwatch 1 was a paid model only, right? You had to pay to play.
It was more for cosmetics than anything, and for some of the characters, but it was mostly free. I didn't buy anything when I played Overwatch 1. Did I buy the $40 pack for Overwatch 2? Yes, I did, for the battle pass.
Okay, so they are both free-to-play models. Okay, so go ahead and try it out. Why not, right? I think, as you just said, shared, the pack was $39.99, but when I originally logged into Battle.net, it seemed like I had to buy the pack in order to play, even though it was saying free-to-play, I guess due to the bugs that they were having in the system. It was just confusing to me at first, but I was able to download it finally. I tried to play it. I was queued up for a long time, didn't get a chance to play it yet. And your impressions, you know, I'm really excited to see, you know, what's happening in Overwatch 2. So that's all I have there anymore.
No, if you want to play with me, just add me on Battle.net. It's EJM1616.
Absolutely. I'll definitely add you for sure. So did we need the Super Mario Brothers movie? What do you think? Let's talk about it.
Think we ever necessarily need a adaptation from a movie to or video game to a movie, but it's Mario, and I think Mario is forever, so yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I remember as a kid myself watching, Super Mario Brothers, the animated cartoon series, and loving it, and then almost pretty much everything from then, watching it, and they're always enjoyable. So having a movie, and being 38 years old now, I'm still enjoying them and loving them. I know that there was a lot of mixed things about having Chris Pratt as Mario.
Why is that?
Ugh, 'cause it's Chris Pratt. I don't know. Maybe because like you just kind of when you picture it, it just doesn't quite make sense. And plus, I like Chris Pratt to a certain level. I don't know how to explain that, but I couldn't picture him voicing Mario. Like I would have never thought in a million years. I'm not totally against it, but I'm not totally sold on it. I watched a trailer. I like Jack Black. His little rendition of Bowser was fantastic. The opening scene with Bowser with the penguins was amazing, and it was fun to watch. And then Mario, you hear him, and I'm like, well, I didn't immediately cringe, so that's a good sign. So I didn't necessarily hate the trailer. Oh, it was fun. I liked it. It looked like fun. I'm gonna watch it. And I'm sure that Chris Pratt will grow on me.
So, if you didn't know it was him, would you have looked at the trailer differently? I thought the trailer was brilliant. Definitely want to talk about that a little bit. But if you didn't know it was him, how would you react to the trailer?
I think I would still feel the same way.
Okay.
The thing is why I think I didn't really exactly cringe to it yet or just like totally dismiss it was that he didn't really say a lot. He didn't he wasn't it wasn't like the interaction with Bowser where they had like whole dialogue. So having that initial one, I think it was like I can't tell. It's like, do you have this little Italian New Yorker accent to you? I can't really tell. But I wasn't disappointed. So I don't think I wouldn't necessarily have a different reaction to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. Just like I'm looking forward to seeing, another Sonic, movie. And if they consider doing The Incredibles again for anything, I'll definitely watch that. I think that what we get to experience now is amazing from where we were, right? 90s, 2000s, give or take the games that were out around that time. You had, Street Fighter breaking the scene, 91, and then you had the first Street Fighter, I think was 87, by way of history. And then from there, everything else has been, awesome, from the animations, from the Fatal Fury series, Street Fighter, and et cetera, et cetera. And now we get to see the, I think this is Illumination, right? That's doing this
I'm
with
not 100%.
the, huh?
I'm not 100% not that.
Yeah, I think it's Illumination, and from what we see on screen, I think it's going to be an enjoyable experience. I don't necessarily know, and I'll just speak in as I'm thinking about it. I don't know all the voice actors that do the things that they do, so I typically just watch whatever the Pixar-esque type of presentation for what it is, right? I would have never known who the voice actor or actress was for the short for Overwatch until, if I didn't watch the developer update, right? So I think that having the ability to experience all these different things, I try to experience them from what they are. I don't know the reason why certain actors, get it should have been this person or it should have been that person voicing it. I don't know why they get that. Is it their filmography that you know, maybe something they said in the past, you know, that rubs people the wrong way still because the internet never forgets. I don't know, right? So if I didn't know if it was him, I don't think it would have mattered. You know what I mean? Because like you said, it's a Mario, right? We're going to watch that. You know, if it's Sonic, if it's Zelda, if it's, you know, whatever, we're going to experience it. I think that's where I am when it comes to that stuff. But I think that one part of the trailer that stuck out to me is the standoff, right? It was like a red versus blue. You could see like the red aura on the left side of the screen for Bowser and Bowser's crew. And you could see the aura on the other side blue. I thought that was special, you know, when I saw it. But yeah, that's all I have on it right now.
That was still my favorite part of the entire trailer, which is great because then that's what really makes me like, I got to watch this movie now. I need to. Because it was adorable and it was also epic at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else on this one?
No.
Yeah, so...
Is that our only, like, movie one? I think it is. I think it is our only movie trailer for this. I do want to bring up, it's not on our list, though. I did watch a trailer for a TV show for Wednesday, which they came out with that latest trailer yesterday, which is Addams Family. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm really sad that it's not coming out during, you know, Halloween season. It comes out next month. But that is also something that I'm really enjoying a different take on. Like, I grew up loving Addams Family. I don't know too many people who really just didn't care for the Addams Family. Like, if you grew up loving the Munsters, which I haven't watched that one yet, the Rob Zombie's version that's available on Netflix. But, you know, you grew up watching the Munsters and then you go to Addams Family, which is a very different take. And that's what I think I loved about it while growing up, was a very different take about, you know, what if the family version is. And so seeing this Wednesday trailer and the ones that came out with it, I love that it has this kind of refreshing take on the Addams Family, kind of like how Sabrina the Teenage Witch, when they had that series going on, was different from what we grew up with like Melissa Joan Hart, I believe it was. A little bit darker, a little bit more into this universe, so... kind of all I got for that one. I just wanted to bring it up because I'm looking forward to it.
No, thanks for bringing that up. That's pretty dope. A couple of things by way of like showcase and impressions and stuff. I definitely want to say thank you to PDP and Victrix for the opportunity to check out their fall things that are coming up, which they have. I'm getting more impressed with, you know, some of these companies as I'm learning more about them. I know Victrix and PDP, they've been on the scene for a long time, especially when it comes to like the fighting game community stuff with the fight sticks. And they even have one now where it's all buttons. There's no joystick, which I thought was really unique when I was at the showcase. And then they also have the Pro BFG controller. And I think that one is one that a lot of individuals are going to gravitate to. They have a lot of other things that people are going to gravitate to. But for those who are heavy into the fighting game community, the Pro BFG controller, you know, will work for the PS5 as well as the PS4, you know, wireless wired. It has a fight pad, you know, modular system. And the controller is impressively and surprisingly, from what I've gathered, it feels lighter than the C40, which is the direct comparison that I would make. I wouldn't necessarily compare it with the Series 2 controller by Xbox or even, you know, Gambit itself, even though Gambit is in the same family. But I think that that controller is going to it's going to make a lot of folks happy, you know, this fall based on that. So I'll just stop there for a second. Any thoughts on what I've shared already?
So how would you compare it, I guess, weight-wise to, like, SCUF controllers? Because I feel like the C40s and SCUF, they're pretty heavy, durable controllers. So how would you compare it to SCUF?
Yeah, so the SCUF I haven't used in a while. So that's, like, an easy cop-out for me right now. But I think when it comes to I would say... It feels, and I guess in grams, we'd have to measure those things and see the specs for themselves, right? But like when I held the controller in my hand, I don't know if it was because it had the fight pad or not. It just felt like all the tech that they put in the controller, it was one that you would want to hold longer because of the weight difference. Like, because I have the C40 at my desk right now, and I would be surprised. Maybe it's just like seeing something for the first time, you know, you're kind of like, you know, struck by, you know, the tech and the presentation. And by way of looking at the numbers themselves, they may be the same grams and, you know what I mean? And weight, we don't know, right? So I'm curious on that. If the C40 is heavier than the BFG, the Pro BFG controller, if the C40 is heavier than the Series 2 controller, and I can actually look at that now because they're both here, but this Pro BFG controller dropping in the fall, I think that it's a perfect balance between high tech, you know, for controls, the modular design. Yes, it has a price tag of $180, but it is going to be compatible with PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and PC. And it's officially licensed by PlayStation 2. So I think PlayStation also. So I think those things are critical for individuals who are looking for, you know, a controller that fits the PlayStation life, if you will, as well as if they want to, you know, do the PC stuff as well. So weight becomes a factor for a lot of individuals. And I think that it felt lighter to me. And again, it could be in my mind, but I was pleasantly surprised.
So, I have been checking out the BFG because I think it's really cool how they have, like, it's fully customizable as far as the button layout is. It's not just swapping out different joysticks. It's actually swapping out, like, the entire right side for the button layouts. Because, like you mentioned, you have the fight pad option there, which I think is pretty huge, and you don't see that. So that is, I think that's pretty fantastic. Now, my other question is, so these, are they bought separately or is it all packaged? Like, this is like that $100, $80 price.
You get everything. You get everything for $180.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm looking at some things to mention while we're talking about it. Full wireless and wire compatibility, modularity, which we talked about. Four mappable back buttons with user configurable profiles, patented multi-position clutch triggers, low latency audio with EQ profiles, Victrix control hub customizable through the PC app. Yeah, everything that we're talking about right now comes with the thing for $180.
That is amazing. I think that's a great price tag.
It's a pretty good deal.
I think it is considering, you know, what is out there, the C40s, you have the SCUFs, you have, you know, the Xbox Elite controllers. I think that price point is pretty much on par about what we're seeing, especially if you want to get more out of your gaming experience that fits your needs. I think that's actually a pretty good price point, especially like a couple episodes ago, we were talking about, you know, the cost of these things and where people find value. And I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid, you know, once it gets to the scene, it's going to be, you know, a pretty solid thing. And the other thing I wanted to mention to you while I was over there, I was like, when did you start working on this, right? And they shared that they were working on it pretty much while they were doing the Gambit controller. So this is not something that just, you know, happened overnight, which none of those things are, but I was very, very interested in finding that bit of information. So they were working on it while they launched the Gambit, the Xbox controller. And that has this tech where the response time on the buttons are extremely fast because I don't remember the terminology that they use to not get Xbox upset or anything like that. I'm just going to say it the way I'm saying it now. So they have a tech in the controller that allows you better response time when you press your buttons. What's the buttons again? The AX, well, any button that you press, right? It has a faster response time. There's a terminology that they use so they wouldn't get, you know, lawyers, you know, charging at them and stuff like that. So I'll just leave it at that. But that same tech is built into the Pro BFG controller as well. So that's something to look forward to. I mean, there are other things that they showed. They showed like a Nintendo Switch, you know, controller. which is pretty dope. They have the rematch, which has the colors, the 16.9 million, whatever that number is for the colors that you can customize different sections of colors on the controller. That was pretty cool. Then they have, you know, some headsets coming out, wireless and wired headsets that are releasing as well in the fall. But the highlights, you know, for me, you know, based on what I currently play, right, it would be the fight stick, which I'm interested in. Not necessarily the 12-button one, because I think that's unique in nature, but definitely the actual joystick itself. You know, Sanwa parts, you know, premium. You can disconnect the joystick without having any challenges to, you know, plug it back in. You know, it has some weight to it, but it has handles on both sides. And it is designed, it has the curved front. So when you're resting your hand on it, it's, you know, naturally ergonomic to that particular feel, you know, a familiarity with the fight stick itself. So, yeah, I just, you know, I like what they do. You know, there may be a level of bias there because, you know, the company always shows love, but their products are, you know, amazing, you know, and when they go to events, they bring their printer, I guess that whatever the printer is called, they bring that printer to every event so people can etch their logos and different things like that on site whenever they have tournaments. And they just came back from Evo not too long ago. So, yeah, doing good things, you know, PDP, Victrix are doing good stuff. And this controller is going to be a highlight for the fall if you're into controllers.
Need to boost your YouTube channel? Look no further than TubeBuddy. TubeBuddy is the number one rated YouTube video optimization and management tool on the planet. Search for keywords, optimize using SEO Studio, and use ClickMagnet, a suite of tools designed to help you determine the type of content your audience craves. To try TubeBuddy for free, visit andrew-alliance.com/tools. Once again, that's andrew-alliance.com/tools.
I smell Christmas wish list.
Yeah, it's dope. It's definitely dope. So you have that. And then the next thing was, I don't think it was a surprise to the world, but it was a long time coming for me, right? When it comes to comfort and, you know, we're sitting, you know, a lot at our gaming setups and, you know, creating, editing, doing, playing games, doing what we do. And I think that this was the time for me to get, you know, a chair, and it worked out with one of the best, two of the best in the business, Herman Miller / you know, Logitech G, putting out this second chair. This chair is called the Vantom, and it is a pretty dope chair. And I think the test for that for me is how long I could sit on it without being uncomfortable. And the chair is naturally designed for your posture and your spine and the way the spine, you know, is lined up with the actual curve of the chair. So they built the chair in that manner where it fully supports all the different sections of your spine, from the upper back, lower back, and the bottom of the chair, you know, sliding. I don't know if all the chairs do that. If they do, then, you know, it is what it is. But in terms of things that are first, it is the first gaming chair that provides a thoracic support pad, which is the upper pad, first gaming chair that's done that. And I fell asleep on this chair at least twice, and that's rare for me. So that uh-huh. tells me that the comfort that the chair provides, that's worth the amount of money that the chair is. And the other thing that people say, well, you could say that because you didn't pay for it. Well, I've been doing content for a long time, and 600 plus episodes says that, you know, I've proven that I can cover these things. So I've paid my dues, right? So that those are for those individuals who want to tap in on that. But as far as like what the chair provides by way of comfort, it is definitely pretty good. So the headrest is pretty dope. The way the arm slides to provide the extra comfort, that's dope. It's pre-built in a lot of ways. So the only thing that you have to put in is, so the wheels already put together, the C part with the back, you drop that in, and then the headrest, you drop that in, and it locks in, and you can slide it up and down depending on what you need. And from there, the chair is done. Then you just have to do the adjustments on the side, you know, adjust the bottom of the seat, sliding it forward or backwards, depending what you need there, how far you want to lean it back, you know, how much you want to, you know, lift it up or put it down. All those things are already, you know, set up in, well, pre-set up. So the box is pretty big. And yeah, so it is a price that it is a premium price. I believe it is $1,000. And the original chair that they did was, I think, $1,700. So it is a high premium chair. But if you're looking for something that has a 12-year warranty, right, which is a lot, and provides you comfort for your spine, and they know how to build chairs. Herman Miller is not their first chair that they've ever built. They've been in the business for a long time. It's definitely something worth checking out. So I'll stop there.
And yeah, with that price point, it's not just an easy buy, but it's kind of also, you got to consider, like, when you buy a mattress, sure, $500 mattress seems better, and why would you ever spend $4,000 or $5,000 on a mattress? You spend a lot of time laying that bed. You spend like at least 1/3 of your life if you're getting 8 hours of sleep every day in bed. So when it comes to putting money towards, you know, a chair, your whether it be for gaming or for, you know, your office, that's things to consider, especially when you have a desk job. You're sitting there for these long periods, which I hope you're taking, like, you know, 5-10 minute breaks to walk around and move. You got to invest in those things. I mean, you might think not that you need it, but get up there in age. I got back problems. I'm not even that old yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So something to invest in. And you know, 12-year warranty is pretty amazing. You want to be sitting there in comfort, not in pain.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I am enjoying it for sure. My body thanks you. So thank you, Herman Miller, Logitech G, for the opportunity to check out the Vantum chair. I really do appreciate that. And it does help where I used to get tired faster in some instances, depending on where I am throughout the day. I definitely feel the difference. And it's almost like it's recorrecting the way my body is supposed to respond to sitting down, leaning back, and getting into the super gaming mode. When you lean forward, it moves with you and all that. It is designed extremely well. So shout out to them. Daniela.
Yeah. I'm jealous. Yeah. I'm jealous.
don't be jealous. What else? So Steam Deck.
Yes, it's finally available without reservation.
I want one. You got one. I want one.
I got one. And I've had it for almost 2 months now, and I am not disappointed. I know it's really bad too, like when you're relaxing, getting into bed, you shouldn't be looking at your phone or anything like that. I've been playing on my Steam Deck at night. So it's like, it's been a nice smooth thing. And so to see that you don't need reservations now, that they're able to, they've reached a point where they're able to right now at the moment meet the demand that's for there. They opened up reservations for some other countries as well too. So that's pretty cool. I did find it interesting that it was really called out that somebody saw that Nintendo Switch emulator that was on there originally in their vid announcement, and then Steam quickly took that down, replaced it, and put it back up. That's kind of funny. That was like seen on there, which for the, I believe it was the Yuzu emulator. I don't have that on mine, but I thought that was kind of funny. The updates that then have been coming out with it has been nice, the nice little quality of life updates. I don't have any complaints for it still. I'm still loving my Steam Deck.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a great device, especially if you have a large library for Steam, right? And I can only imagine those individuals who are probably doing emulator stuff on it. It's super dope, right? It's a powerful machine, and it could run a lot of things of the past. I'm sure it'll run your Nintendo's, TurboGrafx 16s, and everything else in between up until, you know, now. So I think that's a beautiful device when it comes to, you know, things like that. But of course, they're not going to promote things that do these things, depending on where you are and what country allows it, doesn't allow it. You know, the legalities of that is always something that people talk about. There are sites that get taken down because of them, et cetera, et cetera. So now I think the Steam Deck is dope. It's not on my radar to get right now, you know, but it's the new Xbox is, though. The S is on my radar because there are a lot of things that are coming up by way of opportunities. And once I have the opportunity, I realize I can't play those things because it requires a newer Xbox and I still have the first Xbox One, right? So Steam Deck. It is pretty dope. And I know that there was a conversation we recently had about the Logitech G Cloud device, right? Because it's only going to be, you know, wherever you are, that's where you're going to play it because of the quote unquote limitations of the device. But I'm pretty sure that people will do their own experiments on that device as well to see what it can do and what it could handle. So. But yeah, I'll leave that there. Any thoughts? Any additional thoughts on the Steam Deck device?
No, during also their little video announcement, they also announced that the Steam Dock is finally available, which is funny because I think a couple days ago, I finally gave in for a third-party one, which they did say that the third party it was built to accept third-party docks, if that's what you choose. And that's what I did. I ended up buying one. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce the company or enunciate it. JSAUX. They actually have two. Their latest dock station pretty much has a pretty much similar setup as the official Steam Dock that's available. Just for $30 cheaper. I believe I bought mine for $50 on Amazon. It has a USB 3.0. I think that's the difference. The Steam Decks or Steam's official Steam Dock. The USB ports are 3.1, whereas the one that I bought has 3.0 USB. It still has the charging stations, 1 gigabit Ethernet. So you can attach any, you know, your keyboard, your mouse. You can get your full resolution connecting it to your TV. You can have it standing up. It's just that it was $30. I don't know if I want to, I believe it was $80, they said. For the official one, that is still a very steep price point for me. I'm sorry. I know we're talking about $1,000 chair, $100 and here I am complaining about an $80 docking station.
Hey, money's money, right? It is what it is.
So if I can get the same function, I don't think I don't think I really notice the difference between a USB 3.1 and 3.0. I'm fine with it. It's just for what, my keyboard and my mouse. That little difference doesn't make a difference to me. So I'd rather pay $50. If I can get something that does what I need it to do and it has some pretty good reviews for it and it's already available and I can get it now, I'm going to go that route. So.
No, I dig
it. Those little things. And then that's all I got for the Steam Deck.
No, I dig it. I dig it. Arcane finally confirms, yes, Deathloop is set in the Dishonored universe. Did you think about that while you were seeing the different things for Deathloop, or what was your thoughts on that when you heard that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right, cool.
That wasn't coming to my mind.
So that's news for those who were wondering that. So I wanted to add that in the notes as well. Dahmer Tapes, I watched one episode. I don't think I plan to watch the actual other thing right now. I'd rather watch the conversations that are available on Netflix, including this one, the Dahmer Tapes, instead of watching the actual depiction of the things. Maybe because it feels like a podcast and I could just listen to that at a faster speed, listen to the commentary and the different individuals that were involved and either, you know, speaking with him or prosecuting this or doing that. I still love, you know, true crime, although I don't spend a lot of time in that genre. I do enjoy the conversations dealing with, you know, psychology and things of that nature. So I started watching / listening to the Dahmer Tapes, which is released very, very recently on Netflix. Any thoughts on that?
I'll get around to watching it. It is on my list of things. I don't know. I went down this Dahmer rabbit hole. I'm still maintaining, if you're watching the Netflix limited series of Dahmer, I did watch it all. It's a lot to take in, and I'm still not going to quite recommend for people to watch it because it's a lot. Really well filmed and tells the story. And see, I love horror movies. I do. But when, like, they don't really scare me. But things like this, where it's true, it's factual, and realistic of things that can happen, kidnapping, murder, all of this stuff, cannibalism, that's real. That's scary. Because you really, these people saw Dahmer and didn't, like, they thought, yeah, he's a little bit weird guy, but not knowing this monster that's working with them, that's living with them, that is their son or their grandson, their neighbor. That's scary to me.
Yeah.
So you never know. I can't necessarily like recommend, like, yeah, you should definitely watch it. No, but the Dahmer tapes, so to listen to, you know, which is, it's scary in its own way because you're right. Hearing their voice, you're hearing it from like them and the people, the detectives, the lawyers, prosecutors that are part of it. It's kind of the whole other level of fear and scare there. So I still need like palate cleanser before I even jump back into that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot listening to the audio parts as well. I think that you learn a lot. You know, about it's well done. It's well done. You have to give it to the individuals who are putting these things together. The production value is really good. Even the visuals attached to the audio is pretty good as well. I think that I'll stick to that. I'll listen to those tapes, not just the Dahmer ones. I think there's other ones in that category. And the other thing that I would recommend checking out is Kim Kardashian's recent release, The System, which last time I checked, they only had 2 episodes, not including the trailer, which was about 2 minutes. I think that is well done. And I think that because Kim Kardashian's life and what it represents to different people, they may not dive into that particular series. But if you love true crime and you want to hear a new story and how, you know, it came about, it got on her radar, et cetera, et cetera. Whether you like her or not, or some people say they don't like her voice or not, I think it's a great series to check out. And she recently released it, and she released it on the same day that she had to pay the SEC, I think $1.7 million for the Ethereum Max situation, the crypto situation, which again, I think that's brilliant in terms of how they're able to capture, you know, attention. I don't know if it's arbitrage or not, but they're able to capture attention at the right time. Not only you get to pay a fine for the government, you release something at the same time because you're aware that everybody's going to be researching you at that time because it's super hot, right? So, you know, shout outs to just being brilliant, you know, marketers too. They do a great job of having people watch them for anything, you know, whether it's huge or not huge when it comes to news bits or just content. And this is another example of that.
I would have never thought that when we started recording this, that you would bring up Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Not that I don't feel one way or another for, I will admit I have been watching the Kardashians. I didn't know about The System though. So yep. I got to go and follow that.
Spotify.
And again, it's definitely, it's definitely interesting whether, you know, like you were saying, if you love her or hate her, she's a businesswoman and you got to admire the hustle and the work, regardless if you think like she doesn't work. She does. She has so many different businesses and clearly is doing something right because her name or the Kardashian name is in everybody's mouth in one way or another, even ours.
It's great. It's great marketing. She's brilliant. And I think she deserves, you know, and I guess she deserves credit. And I think I'm at a stage now, you know, as I'm consuming content, like I don't like when people police people from, checking out things that could potentially like change their perspective. And I think that, we have to, just enjoy, you know, what we enjoy. I love true crime. I don't spend a lot of time in that genre. I think true crime love for me is because of the psychological nature of the things that happen. And my thing was, I was so resistant on listening to the true crime Kim Kardashian, the system, because of what I've heard, right? What's been told to me by the media and how she's portrayed this, that, and the other. And I would have missed out. I would have missed out on someone who is, you know, a hardworking individual and did the research, got the production team together, put this story together, had somebody released during the recent president's term, right? And, you know, she's doing work that, you know, that is saving lives and even families for generations and stuff like that. So you got to appreciate that. You may not like how she got her fame, but she had a tremendous blueprint, right? I'm trying to remember. Paris Hilton, tremendous blueprint for her, right? And her blueprint is still what many use today to gain, you know, notoriety or clout or whatever it is. You know, Paris Hilton, speaking of, you know, in this particular context. And then you have Kim Kardashian, who built off of that blueprint, created her own. And look what we have, you know, now with everything that she's done, you know, and her family has done too, and a lot of successes in many different ways. So you just have to, you know, reset, you know, listen to different other pieces of content, see if you like, don't like, and if you don't like it, great. If you like it, then, you know, just, you know, pay the respects, you know, where it's due. So.
Yeah. And that's just to bring up one last point is, regardless of how she got her fame and everything, there's many people who are famous, who have this ability, who have this platform to do some sort of good, don't do it for one reason or another. The fact that she is doing something that's positive, like, I know a lot of people were, you know, in disbelief, think it was like a whole marketing thing just for more popularity for her to take, you know, her bar exams, to become a lawyer, to do these things. That's not an easy task. I mean, there is certainly other ways and other means that celebrities will make sure that they stay this household name, to stay famous, to stay known. That's a lot easier than I'm going to become a lawyer. But to be able to use that for good and to help these people out, to do what she can, I mean, that's already big. I mean, come on. You can't just continuously hate on somebody just to hate on somebody. Just pay your respects for what they are doing. I'm not saying she's a perfect celebrity, not like by far, but nobody's perfect. Nobody. She just, because she's who she is, she'll get scrutinized and ridiculed for it, every little thing. And for even same mistakes that your average Joe that nobody knows can make, you know? That's all I got.
No, that's pretty dope. A couple of things. The next free game on Epic Game Store will be Toe Jam and Earl. So definitely look for that very, very soon. Call of Duty official launch trailer, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Excited for that one. That's literally, you know, maybe 2 weeks away, give or take. Modern Warfare 2. What did you think of that trailer, Daniela?
It looked really good. I'd probably watch that as like a full animated movie.
Yeah.
Still not going to get me to play it, but I liked it.
It's interesting you bring that point, though, because when I was watching it, I thought of we haven't seen a movie from them, right? And it seems like every game that we've loved over the years, they're getting studios together to create some kind of movie or some kind of series. Now, so you have Last of Us, which we talked about recently, and, you know, I don't have anyone in mind right now outside of that one. That's the first one that came to mind because we just talked about it. I wouldn't be surprised if they create a series from this, right? That would be dope. How they would do it, I don't know. Who they would bring to do it, I don't know. I don't know. But I would watch it because, you know, it's Call of Duty and they do tell great stories.
They do. And like, you know, like I said, I mean, I would totally watch that as a movie or a limited series. because it looked really good. It looked like it had a really compelling story and campaign tied to it. So you never know. I mean, you have a lot. You had Uncharted. They made their movie. Yeah, Resident Evil. Come on, they keep making those and they're not good. So why not? Why not a Call of Duty movie? That would, even if you're not a gamer and you've never played Call of Duty, it's still going to be this military tactical war movie. And who doesn't love those?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't doubt that somewhere at some point there will be. I would have no doubts about that.
Yeah. And we had the Halo one, you know, that turned out to be something pretty dope. Right. A lot of conversations around it, if we're going to enjoy it. And it came out really good. So if they did do something for Call of Duty, you know, maybe like a particular time frame, whether it was they do one for the World War, then they do one for the Black Ops series, then they do one for the Advanced, you know, Call of Duty series. And I think it would be a hit. You know, it would have to be very strategic, great writers, of course, great directors, explosions, you know, maybe Michael Bay would probably, you know, and throw in, what I think, was it Jerry Bruckheimer? I think that's the person's name. Throw in all the big names, right? Get them together and do a Call of Duty thing, maybe call it Answer the Call or something like that. So maybe due to the Call of Duty name, I'm sure you can't just use that freely on stuff. I don't know. I think I'd enjoy it. I'd enjoy that just because it's Call of Duty stuff. Right now,
Yeah, I'm just agreeing.
Yeah. So right now, based on what I believe they're doing externally and internally with the reset of this game, that's probably going to do way more than the original game. I think the original game did over 20 million, you know, not bad, right? And I think that this one is going to do even more than that, because there's a new generation, you know, playing this game, of course, with the new tech that's in the game. And of course, for those who are paying attention to the internal stuff, it feels like there's a reset happening with that as well. Different individuals are stepping down. Different individuals are becoming advisors to the executive team and trying to iron out whatever challenges that they may have. So as we approach to the release of the game, it doesn't, the internal stuff doesn't affect the game itself when it releases, right? Some people don't care about that. They're just going to pull up to the store, get the game, go home and play it. Don't even know, you know, what's happening internally, right? And then the individuals who, you know, cover, you know, these topics and stuff like that will probably, you know, see the transition of different individuals leaving or stepping down and, you know, ironing out maybe settlements, if that's something that's even, you know, being done, you know, alleged or whatever. We'll see. But right now, heading into the end of October, I believe the 28th is the release, everything seems very, very clean, if you will, heading into that launch, right? And that's all you'd want versus some other games that's been struggling and finally they're releasing, you know, a live event. But Call of Duty is always performed, always done well in terms of, you know, sales, right? But I think that this one is pretty special because it's nostalgic in approach and the gameplay is well done in terms of what we remembered, coupled with the new tech. And I do feel like it's a reset for the company, and I'll stop there.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you. So. And you know what? We care about the transitions because we pay attention to those things. Your average gamer, just like, give me a good game. That's all I care about. Give me an enjoyable experience.
Absolutely.
I don't care who's doing it or where you're on it.
Absolutely. Some games that I've enjoyed over the years, they're struggling right now. So Battlefield 2042 finally gets its first live service event, the Liquidators. So that's going to be from the October 11th. I don't remember the end date for that, but I think it starts October 11th. That would be what, Tuesday? Right, I think?
Yeah, I think it's for 2 weeks. I think it's for 2 weeks. Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think it ends on the 25th.
On the 25th? Yeah. So, you know, I hope that does well. You know, I definitely want to, you know, tap in and see what's happening there. I tried to load the game yesterday Did install it, tried to load it. I kept getting the world and the this my keyboard started looking all weird. I guess that's part of the game when it's loading and stuff like that. But I never loaded into the game, which I never understood why. So I might try to reload it again to see what's going on there. But the Battlefield 1942, I was thinking about that one because that one, well, let's just talk about that real quick. That one really changed my view of Battlefield because it was like a bare bones. And I believe that was for the Xbox 360 arcade. That was like a bare bones game where all you have to do is just, you know, go capture the zone, hold it for as long as possible. And if you do and your team does that, you win. If you don't, it is what it is. So that bare bones version, I believe, was inspired by 2042. But 2042 is still struggling to get a name for itself, right? And stand out. Because there's so many different games that are providing similar type of features, even though they've all competed. Battlefield 2042 doesn't even seem like it's in the conversation anymore right now. So I'll say right now, because we're recording this at a time that might change. So right now, it doesn't feel like it's in the conversation of your war zones. It doesn't feel like it's in the conversations of your, you know, Call of Duty games or anything that's considered a shooter, a tactical shooter in any way, shape or form. So that saddens me a little bit because, you know, there's rich history there, especially if you played Battlefield 3, Battlefield 4, and the other, and even Battlefield 1. Some people credit that, you know, to have some kind of, you know, I remember that game type of value. But the 2042 is easily fading in the background. 1942 is more memorable than 2042 in a lot of ways. And I'll stop there.
I gotta agree with you. I completely forgot that I even came out with it until today. And even then, the vent, the liquidators, I hate to admit it, but I think the launch trailer for Modern Warfare 2 was far more entertaining and interesting than the liquidators. Like, if I had to be convinced to jump into something, I think Call of Duty did a better job. The Battlefield and their trailer for the Liquidators.
Yeah.
I don't even want to touch Call of Duty.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, I still am looking forward to what they're going to do in the near future. But we'll see. We'll see what they do. Last but not least, before we wrap, Need for Speed Unbound official reveal trailer. I think it was kind of hinted, you know, and some other, you know, website, blah, blah, blah. And we now have the official trailer for Need for Speed Unbound. Thoughts on that?
I love that trailer. I did. Need for Speed is just a fun game in general. Need for Speed Unbound, the aesthetics of it, I loved it. I totally dug it. I always love their soundtracks that they choose. And I think that was featuring my old age is going to be showing because it's not like I know too many artists anymore, but I know of the artists. So I think it's pronounced ASAP Rocky. I'm so sorry for everybody.
Yeah, I think so. You got it.
I thought it was really cool. And, you know, in my mind, like you have your Forzas, you have your G. Oh, man. I just totally blanked out. Gran Turismo. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Gran Turismo. Yeah.
You have Gran Turismo.
It's okay.
Yeah. I was going to say Grand Theft Auto. I'm like, no, that's not it. Wrong G. But yeah, you have your Gran Turismo. You have your Forzas. And they have that simulation, that realistic, that type. But you have Need for Speed, who just makes racing just fun. It reminds me of my childhood, you know, when you were playing into your Hot Wheels and like in your mind, this is how this was like going out. And as you get older, I mean, I have an almost 19-year-old son who still plays with Hot Wheels. And in his mind, like he enjoys the Horizon series. But in his mind, he's still like drifting. He still has music going on. And that's where Need for Speed comes in. Like you still get that racing experience. You still get the customization, but it's just done in their own flavor that I feel that they have perfected and made it so much fun. So just seeing Need for Speed Unbound, their trailer, I'm like, I want to play that one. That's the one for me. So
yeah, this one was it took me back to Fast and Furious, right? And
yeah,
just something about the way it was shot, you know, the voiceover in the trailer, you know, took me to the Fast and Furious series, you know, the first, I don't say the first one or two, definitely one, right? The way that everybody would just scatter, you know, when the cops, you know, came and stuff like that. And just the way it was shot, you know, really remind me of that. So if we're going back to the basics of arcade type racing with, you know, the Need for Speed stamp, you know, and I use stamp, you know, loosely, of course, with all the things that we're seeing in the trailer, I think it's really exciting. Need for Speed, I always remembered it as a realistic game in the beginning, and then it transitioned to other things. And, you know, it became the cops and robbers type of Need for Speed games where the cops are always chasing you. You have to, you know, evade and all that. Then it kind of lost its way, in my opinion. Then it became a story arc of, you know, someone who's trying to make it. You come up in the scene, you know, get cred, and then go from there. And I think we're going back to the original type of Need for Speed that we've enjoyed over the years, with the element of a young individual trying to make it, get cred on the scene, but yet still feel very arcadey, because you're not supposed to be thinking a lot when you're playing this game, right? And you, yes, you know, reflexes and stuff when you're making turns, taking the apex and all that fun stuff, that's great. But it's not Gran Turismo, because you brought Gran Turismo. It's not a simulated experience. It's not the arcade game. It's not the, well, what am I thinking now? It's it is designed to be arcadey. It's not designed to be, you know, a simulation game. And Gran Turismo, I think, takes the crown on that right now. I don't, whenever I think of simulation, I don't think of any other game besides of that. And Forza makes theirs, right? There's that one too. So I have to put Forza in there as well. So Forza, Gran Turismo, I think simulation. Need for Speed, I think arcade now. The branding has been there for the last, I would say, at least 4 or 5 years when it comes to the gaming experience on the racing side. So I think that's where I will give it. I think that is going to be dope based on if the trailer is the indicator of what we're going to get, then it's going to be dope. If it doesn't deliver, then I think this one is going to suffer like the other ones have suffered in recent years. But I think Need for Speed has done a great job to do a rebrand of things that we enjoy, not only from the movies, but in the games that they've done over the years. So I'll stop there.
That was a lot. No, I think you said it was well said.
Yeah, so Need for Speed, I think that one's going to be good. So we talked about a lot of things today, Call of Duty, of course. Battlefield, we put Kim Kardashian in this conversation because of marketing, you know, brilliant marketers, of course. Last time we talked about the documentary with Anne1. I think that is a great blueprint. If you haven't checked that out yet, not you personally, Daniela, I'm just being in general, like, please make sure you check that out, because I think it's a great, you know, history lesson of what happened with Anne1. I think that's a brilliant one. Anything else you're watching? I think that was the last thing I watched besides the Dahmer thing.
I recently just started watching The Midnight Club, which actually is pretty good. It's not too horror. Yeah, that's what I've been watching lately. Almost done with it, and I heard that they just announced, or not too long ago, they announced season 2, so. That's kind of where I've been.
Okay, all right. So with that, enjoy Overwatch. I actually need to get back into some Destiny stuff before Call of Duty comes out, because I know once Call of Duty comes out, I'm going to get, like, you know, swamped with that. And one thing I didn't mention at the top, and then we'll wrap, is the PDP Victrix showcase. I did a video on IG. I thought it came out really well. I'm testing out the real stuff on IG, so definitely follow me there. That's Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A on IG. I definitely check that out. And yeah, I think that's all I have going on right now. Well, let me see, podcasting stuff. Mondays at 7 on Clubhouse. I'm going to do that again. That's like a masterclass of all things podcasting. If you have any questions, please feel free to pull up on Clubhouse and we can talk about that. That's Monday at 7 Eastern Standard Time. And Daniela, what do you have going on and where can they find you?
You know what? I'm still taking the slow road. I posted this on Twitter, you know, that I am planning on returning it. I'm just I, for me, on a personal note, have been really enjoying just finding myself, finding joy in the things that I love again. And just I don't want to rush that process. I mean, I know that sounds like a cop out, but healing takes time, and you just got to trust the process and enjoy the ride. But you can still find me on everything, all the social medias at Miss DJM. And I know you mentioned it already, Andrew. They can find you Instagram URIYYA, but where else can they find you?
Yeah, that's the main thing right now. I'm really looking forward to, well, actually on Wednesdays I do the Pixel Block with G Media. So I've been doing that for the last 6 months, or it feels like a long time. Every Wednesday I've done conversations on that. Recently I talked with Black Oni, Will Wiggins. We had a conversation this past Wednesday. So that was pretty good. We talked about, representation. There was a theme of representation in there. His story and the things that he's working on. He is open for commission. So I definitely shout outs to Black Oni. Check him out on Twitch. And I think he does stuff on Facebook. And we had a great conversation about his move from LA to Austin. I think that's where he is now. And creating content, doing great things. He did the logo for me for Underdog, which I really appreciate. We may have another collection coming out soon. And what else? I'm writing a book right now on podcasting stuff, so that is definitely more involved than I thought it would be. But it's definitely a learning experience, so hopefully I'll have more updates on that. But yeah, so that's the main one, URIYYA, and yeah. So thank you guys for listening. I think this was a dope episode. This is 626 of the show. Any final farewells, Daniela?
Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you and have a fantastic week.